You're listening to Talk Radio WLOH. This is the Humane Society News Show, and this is Tina.
And Corey.
And somebody else is along with us today, right, Corey?
Yes, I brought along Bill, our humane officer, and our Mr. Know-It-All, and that's a good thing, actually. Bill has, I got to give a lot of credit for a lot of things that I've learned in the last 2.5 years from talking to this guy, so we're happy to have him on the show and kind of give us some good information that we're going to talk about today.
How many years have you been in this job or this line of work, Bill?
15.
15 years. I cannot even imagine some of the things that you have seen. You know, I always say with police officers and the accidents and with humans, but you're on the other side of it with animals, aren't you?
Unfortunately, in some cases, yes. It's a rewarding job, but it can also be very frustrating. And you do see some things that you go to bed at night thinking about.
Yeah, I bet so. I couldn't even imagine. And I'm the type of person, I always said I couldn't be a police officer. I was in the military, and thank goodness I wasn't ever sent overseas, seriously, to really be in the line of duty to where you're down there seeing the horrible things. But in this case, with the animals, you really do, and it's got to be really, really tough. I mean, you're even called out on accidents with animals, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I've been on several where there's been auto accidents and an animal's been in the car and injured. And have to deal with that on an emergency basis. So you never know from one day to the next what we're going to run into.
Oh, I bet not. Corey, you invited Bill over. I'll let you explain why you invited him today.
Well, we talked a couple weeks ago on the show about it starting to get colder and this time of year. And extreme heat of the summertime, and then when it starts to get cold and winter sets in is really when we get a lot more calls on animal neglect or cruelty complaints, and then we're calling Bill, it seems like, 3 or 4 times a day if he's not at the shelter. And so I thought it was a good opportunity to bring him on and give the official, I guess, revised code or rules and regulations of not only dogs and cats, but we get a lot of horse calls and things like that. So knowing that he has horses of his own, he can kind of speak to a little more better about, you know, what's required and really taking care of them. And then we'll kind of get into that because now it being Thanksgiving week and everyone's starting to gear up for their holiday shopping and what kind of gifts we're going to give. We've talked before and we'll talk again about pets as gifts and your kids really getting on you about you know, I want a cat or I want a dog. And even I'll even share my experience with a dog that we got into the shelter and I brought home over the weekend to work with them and kind of let you guys know it happens to the best of us. And we'll talk about different situations and what I dealt with this weekend.
Sounds really good. Yeah. Hey, Bill, you want to go ahead and share with us what the law is or some of the laws are for the animals?
Yeah, they're a little bit different from one animal to another. One of the misconceptions about dogs is that they can just be tied out to a tree, under a tree, or have access to under a trampoline, under a deck, under a picnic table, something like that. But the law says a dog tied out for many hours a day has to have a dog box.
Oh.
And, you know, these other things, they may keep the snow off for a while, but they don't stop the wind. And, of course, we don't like to see dogs tied out to a box all the time anyway. They tend to get forgotten sometimes in the bad weather. Somebody gets home from work and it's pouring down rain or the wind's blowing and howling and they think, well, I'll go out in a couple hours and take care of the dog. And then, or they assume some other family member's going to do it and they just get left behind. So if they are out tied to a dog box, we recommend straw in the box, not blankets or towels that get wet and then refreeze. Straw, because straw is hollow and it's a good insulator. And it's cheap. I think $3 for a bale of straw lasts all winter. Mm-hmm. Dog box that fits the dog. You don't want it too big because the body heat can't build up inside like it would be if it was the right size.
Oh.
And the breed again, too. You know, it's okay for a husky or a chow to be laying out in the snow because they prefer that to being in a dog box. When you start getting dogs that are not cold weather adapted, like boxers and some of the really short-haired dogs that don't have that undercoat that can withstand the cold, then It's not good for them to be outside. And another thing people don't realize, a dog that's tied to a dog box is much more likely to bite somebody than one that isn't.
Mm.
Because that perimeter or that chain is their little corner of the world if they're out there all the time. And if you trespass on it, they can't get away.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the flight or fight. And they can't flight, then mm-hmm. that leaves fight. And a lot of people are bitten by dogs that are chained up because they're protecting the only territory they know.
Bill, you just said that the dogs that have like shorter coats of hair,
mm-hmm.
is it just kind of like in general, if a dog has short hair, they're not meant to be outside because it's not real thick? I mean, that to me makes sense. That's why I'm asking.
Pretty much. And short-faced dogs like boxers and bulldogs and some of these other ones with the real short, they don't do well in really cold weather or mm-hmm. really hot weather. Their breathing's hampered by the shape of their face.
Oh.
And they can't get the oxygen in the right way either when they're hot or when they're cold. So those dogs definitely don't need to be outside.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I mean, long-haired Chihuahuas, to me, in my opinion, don't belong outside either because they're warm weather dogs.
And that's they don't have the fat on them to have any insulation. And they don't have an undercoat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Labs, you could mm-hmm. consider them short-haired dogs, but they've got a very thick undercoat. They were bred to jump into freezing water and bring back ducks, so they're mm-hmm. tolerant to cold. Rottweilers, again, they're cold-weather dogs, and they can do it too. But a boxer or a pointer of some kind, not good.
How important is it for people to really educate themselves about the animal that they're looking to adopt or
Well,
purchase?
I just think that people need to take a really realistic look at what they are interested in. Don't buy a puppy because it's cute. Mm-hmm. All puppies are cute, mm-hmm. but you need to match it to your lifestyle. And little tiny dogs are notoriously not good with little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of dogs need much more exercise than people can provide. So you really need to think about it and not do it emotionally. Do it with some thought before you jump into it.
And I want to touch on that point from the adoption perspective when we have people coming in and have a certain breed of dog or a certain size of dog in mind for their household. And, you know, we do that application process to point people in the right direction because ultimately we want to get the dog in the best environment. And it's not to be mean or judgmental. It's just it's necessary for people to kind of understand, like, hey, this dog isn't going to do well in the situation, and we want to save everyone the grief from finding out the hard way.
Well, I had a Pomeranian, adopted one years ago, no longer have it because I adopted it from a friend, and they had a young son at the time who probably chased it around while it started nipping. And then my son, when I adopted the Pom, my son wanted to play with him, but he was little and he was afraid he was being attacked because my son was so excitable that it just scared the dog. So, but with that, if they are a dog that's used to being around that from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Because there are some breeders, I know I hate to, but there are some breeders who their dogs, their puppies don't get any interaction, human interaction, until they are actually sold to somebody and they aren't a friendly type of dog and they are frightened. Constantly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? Goodness, it's that time for a break. We're just chatting along here. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Humane Society News Show with Tina Corey and Bill today. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?